chapter 26. God help me. Jesus' name. Book of Acts, chapter 26 and verse 38. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Bible, chapter 26, starts off by Paul giving his testimony. What an incredible testimony. And then we talked about some of that Sunday morning. And the Bible says in verse 28, I'm just going to read one scripture. The Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Hallelujah. I'm going to do my best to persuade you tonight. And for the next few minutes, I want to preach to you on this thought, the tragedy of almost. The tragedy of almost. Why don't we lift up our hands and ask God to help us in this place. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, I want you to destroy the yoke of my flesh right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God, the only way that's going to happen is if the anointing falls in this house. God, I want the anointing to fall on every single one of us in this place in the name of Jesus. God, I want you to anoint my lips of clay. God, I want you to hide me behind the cross. God, I want you to move in this place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you create an atmosphere right now where God can work? Come on, church. I wish you would pray right now. Oh, come on. I don't want you to pray just a ritual prayer, but I want you to pray something new right now. Say, God, I want to leave this house with a word. Jesus. God, I want to leave here with a word. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What a tragedy. What a tragedy, a window of grace that God opened that day. Preaching is God's method of saving everybody, every service, not just sinners. Preaching is the gateway of you being saved and hearing the voice of God. Amen. God's preferred method for you to hear His voice is through a preacher. And some people can put preaching as just for a sinner. Amen. But preaching is to save each and every one of us, including the preacher. Amen. Because I can promise you, and Brother Marshall can back me up, before we preach, especially something heavy, we preached it to ourselves many days in advance. Amen. We preached it to ourselves many times. Amen. Wanting God to have our heart right. Amen. But what I want to ask you tonight is, amen, a question that is very debated in the world. Probably the most debated question in our world, especially in the time that we live in. The question is, and I think I may have said this once in passing in this pulpit, amen, but the question is, would a loving God send His creation to hell? Amen. I believe that the answer is absolutely not. Amen. God gave us the choice to serve Him. The devil's best business is giving God's people a cheap substitute for heaven. And that substitute is hell. There's no middle ground. It's either lost or saved. Hell, it don't matter what you have in life. At the end of the day, it's lost or saved. It don't matter how much money you have in your pocket. It's lost or saved. It's not about what happened in your life and all the excuses we can come up with. It's either lost or saved. God would never send you to hell. Only ourselves can make that decision. You and I are the only ones that can send ourselves to a devil's hell. The devil's goal is for you to either never find truth, or he'll work every day of his life trying to drag you away from the house of God and drag you away from this precious truth. I'm telling you, every day, amen, the enemy gets up looking and scheming, planning how in the world they're going to drive you away from the house of God and what things can happen in your life that'll drive a wedge between you and the house of God and getting you to depart from the faith. Amen. He would like to get you to begin to play with sin and unbiblical doctrines, finding justification in the reason that we live the way we live and believing the demonic doctrine of once saved, always saved, and that God is love and God is love. But, amen, there's going to be a lot of people that God loves that do not spend eternity with Him. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:4, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," and I believe that's where we're living, in the latter times. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe with all of my heart, amen, that my generation is going to see the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, the world's getting in a mess. That God could come back anytime. I believe we are living in the last of the last days. And the Bible says in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Amen. It's the devil's business that would love to sear your conscience with a hot iron. He would love to numb you to the things of God that you're not able to make sense of wrong and right in your life anymore. He would love for you to become numb to the things of God. And if we are not careful, amen, seducing spirits are all around us. Amen. Everywhere we go in life, there's a spirit that is trying to attack you. Amen. When you walk down the grocery store, down Walmart, there are spirits that are trying to attack you. Amen. You might not believe that. You don't have to believe it or not, but like it or not, we are living in a spiritual world. Amen. We are living in spiritual warfare. Amen. There's a lot more going on that you and I cannot see. Right now, amen, when you're on your job, the enemy, they're seducing spirits that is trying to attack you. Amen. That's why Paul said you got to bring every thought into captivity. Amen. You got to be careful where you let your mind wander. You got to be careful what your eye sees. Amen. Because I'm telling you, there are spirits that are trying to attack us. There are spirits trying to destroy my generation, because I believe my generation is the most effective generation on the world that the world has ever seen. The enemy is afraid of our generation. Amen. Because the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. That's why the enemy is terrified. Amen. Of my generation. And he is doing everything he can to destroy the apostolics of 2020.
Amen. I'm telling you, if you you live for God long enough, and amen, I'm not claiming to be an elder. I'm not claiming to know it. I know I'm a young man. Amen. But at 25 years old, I've seen a lot leave. I've seen a lot of peers. Amen. That can preach the paint off the walls that are backslidden. I know a lot of them. Amen. They had the goods, but a seducing spirit got a hold of them. Amen. They said it was too hard to live for God, and they walked away from the faith. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a tragedy. Amen. If you've ever felt, amen, a touch of God, what a tragedy for you to die lost. Oh, God, help us right now. Amen. I'm telling you right now, the devil wants to drag you to hell. I'm telling you right now, the devil is not playing fair. He wants to drag you and I to hell. And we can't give heed to these seducing spirits of the world, amen, that are coming against us every day. Amen. The world is full of seducing spirits. Amen. Brother Marshall, you could probably back me up, but 30 years ago is a lot different than it is today. Amen. For you to be able to sin, amen, 30 years ago, you had to put a little more work in it than you have to today in 2020. Amen. To find some sin or for a seducing spirit to get a hold of you. Amen. You really had to be deep on the wrong side of the tracks or down a dark alley or in a place, amen, that you're absolutely not supposed to be for a seducing spirit to try to attack you. Amen. But I'm telling you, hell, amen, has everybody on board. He has all of his demons in the ranks. Amen. Seducing spirits are wandering all around us. Amen. Now we got seducing spirits on billboards. Amen. The next time you go down, you'll see everything on the perversion of the world. Amen. Right in your face. Amen. Amen. The spirits that are seducing us, amen, are not hid in the shadows anymore. But now they're flamboyant. They are in our face. Hey, I know I hadn't been out of high school, amen, too many years. I know the spirits that we face. And God forbid, amen, we fail and fall short, amen, from what God has given us. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost that we need to reconcile in ourselves. Amen. To get strong in the faith. Hallelujah. Because the spirits live on inside your pocket now. Amen. You can see anything and do anything on a cell phone. Amen. You better be careful. Amen. To not let virtue become a vice in your life and let the enemy destroy you from your own pocket. Because I'm telling you, these spirits, amen, will try to damn you to hell. Amen. These spirits will try to pull you, amen, down further than you ever thought you would go. I want to tell you and talk to every spirit in this city. Fornication is still a spirit. Hallelujah. Adultery is still a spirit. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Homosexuality, that is still a spirit. Pornography, it is still a spirit. I don't care who's accepted it, how many people's doing it. It's a spirit, and you better never let it attack you. My God, shame on me if I'll talk about every seducing spirit and never name one. Amen. I'm telling you, I feel boldness. Ladies cutting their hair, it's a spirit from hell. Ladies wearing makeup, it's a spirit from hell. Revealing clothes on a man or a woman, that's a spirit from hell. Hollywood is a spirit. We're not letting that in. God help us to not open the dam where we can never shut it again. Hallelujah. Unfaithfulness to the house of God is a spirit. People that don't want to pay tithes or offering, it's a spirit. Anything that's not going to draw you closer to the house of God or wind you closer and woven you closer in the house of God is a spirit. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, feel the Holy Ghost. The devil will lie to you and want you to play games. My God, in 2020, there's more young people that are playing games with God than I've ever seen in my life. Oh, come on. I'm telling you, it's time for us to quit playing games. The devil will lie to you and tell you can come in when you want to and you can leave when you want. He'll say you can come in when you want to and you can leave what you want to. I'm telling you, the enemy has good tactics. I see people do it every church I go to, and I've seen it in every church I've ever preached in. You have people live like devils. They'll come in and the conviction of the Holy Ghost will get on them. They'll come to the altar and talk in tongues for just a few minutes and say, "Whoa, I'm okay," and you'll go a little further in the world. I'm telling you, you better not make virtue a vice in your... You better not let your virtue become a vice that'll destroy you. You know what you need to do with God? God, I want to go deeper. God, I... You know how you keep the seducing spirits of hell off you? Amen. I know we think it's taboo and we don't like talking about it a lot. Amen. But this old flesh knows how to talk in tongues. Amen. Amen. I'll just throw myself under the bus. Amen. I know what it's like to walk in the church, not pray to lick all day. Amen. I'm just so grooved. Amen. I got my shoes just right. And I know what it's like, amen, just to fall into a tongue. Amen. But that's a tongue of the flesh. You know what you need to pray to God? Say, God, I want you to give me a new tongue. I want to talk in tongues a new way. Because God, I can't let a spirit get a hold of me. God, I can't play church. I can't play church. Oh, God, I can't play around with the things of God. My God, I want a new tongue. Oh, how y'all see? Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We can't play games. We can't play games. The Bible says in Matthew 12, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return, amen, unto my house and whence I came out of. And when he has come, he findeth that it is empty, it is swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I want to tell you, play around with things in the world, you're going to end up worse than you started. I'm telling you, the enemy will attack you. The spirits will get a hold of you. But the best thing I can tell you is stay with the church and you'll be okay. Hallelujah. But if you go to the world, amen, you step into the devil's playground. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. God. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That only works when we're not in the world. I'm going to tell you. Amen. You might think different, but you're not more powerful than the devil when you're on his ground. Oh, God. You can't go to the enemy's playground. We'll be defeated. But I'm telling you right now, you got to get apart and you got to dig in. You got to jump head first in the church. Amen. Because you might say, well, I'm just going to go play around and I'm going to come back. You don't know if he'll make it back. You don't know if you'll have another opportunity to come to the house of God. Amen. People, the people that almost make it back to church or almost come to the altar, or almost give up addictions, the ones that say, I'm just about ready to give up playing church, the ones that say, I'm just about ready to give up the world, I'm just about ready to quit playing games, the ones that are just about ready are the ones that are all the way going to go to hell. My my God, I'm telling you, it's cut dry in the Word of God. It's either lost or saved. It don't matter how good your intentions are. It don't matter what kind of plans you had. It's either lost or saved. I'm telling you, I feel a burden for somebody in this house. You better not play church. You better not wait till tomorrow to come to the altar. Amen. Because the people that almost get it right are the ones that all the way go to hell. People may go to heaven. People may go to heaven, but they cannot because their spirit has not been born again. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot. It reminds me of elementary school. I remember in grade school, I would ask the teacher, can I go to the restroom? I really thought she was a smart aleck at first. She'd say, absolutely, you can go to the restroom. You are completely able. You are physically able, but you may not because you don't have permission. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may go to heaven, but you cannot without being born again of the water and the Spirit. There's no secret password to get into heaven. It's very simple. You just got to obey Acts, the second chapter and the 38th verse. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there's really a fourth step in there, and it's the hardest step for every one of us to get. That's to live the life holy and acceptable unto God. Every one of us can go to heaven. Every one of us, God gave the ability and the free will that we can go to heaven. But there's going to be millions and millions and millions of people that may not, because they never would sell out. Reminds me of Adam and Eve. The roles have been switched. They were born free, living in righteousness of God, but they sinned, became bound and disconnected from the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt eat, shall not eat of it. For in the day that thou knowest, therefore thou shalt surely eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. We know that God's word does not lie. Amen. The word die, it was a spiritual death. It was something that got in the DNA of mankind. And from that day forward, they were spiritually dead. From that day forward, every one of us, amen, has to find a place to be born again. Amen. We were born in sin and shaping the iniquity. Amen. Paul said, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And if you're not careful, your flesh will send you to hell. If you're not careful, amen, seducing spirits will take you to hell, amen, because we're born in sin. We're born in an environment that the default is to go to hell. But I'm telling you, you got to shake yourself, amen, like Samson. You got to shake yourself and get those spirits off of you. How many times do you have to listen, amen, to the preached word of God before you're persuaded to live for God? How many services do you have to go through before you're persuaded? How many times does a preacher have to lay his heart on an altar and serve it to you on a platter before you're persuaded? How many times does the pastor have to come to this pulpit burdened before you're persuaded? Because I'm telling you, we're not promised tomorrow. God. Me and my wife were talking last night. It seems like everybody we know is passing away. Back home, it's like there's funeral after funeral after funeral. My wife had a cousin pass away last week. Amen. We know of the pastor's son in Carthage passed away last week Friday. A young boy in our church, amen, 13 years old, had his whole life ahead of him. On a side by side, flipped it, landed on his neck, killed him, put him in the grave yesterday. We know we're not promised tomorrow. How long until you're persuaded to sell out to God? When are you going to quit holding on to the world? When are you going to quit holding on, amen, to a safety net? Amen, and try to juggle this thing. Amen, the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. Amen, there's one thing you can know for sure. If God tarries, every single person in this room, you're going to find yourself in a casket one day. Our day is already on a calendar somewhere. God. I'm telling you right now, amen, God, I'm telling you the day that I pass away is already on a calendar somewhere if God tarries. And it's my duty to live every day like it's my last. Amen, I can't afford to almost get it right. Judgment Day will not be filled of explaining and giving excuses on why you deserve heaven. But once you get to Judgment Day, the decision will already be made. It'll just be roll call time. God's got me right now. The Bible says in Matthew 24, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. My God, I'm telling you right now, it seems like make believe because we always talk about it. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day that your ears are going to be filled with the sound of a trumpet. And you're going to look up and you're going to see an eastern sky that's going to split. I want to ask you, what are you going to be doing on that day when God decides to call his church home? What are you going to be doing when the trumpet sounds by that time? Once you hear, amen, once the sound waves of that trumpet makes it to your eardrums, and by the time that those your eardrums sends the vibrations to your brain, it's already going to be too late for you to change your mind. Amen. The Bible, so I think it's in Matthew, it says that the coming of the Lord is going to be like a thief, a robber in the night. You're not going to know when it's going to happen. Amen. And when the time that it happens, it's going to be too late. God, I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hell is not going to be full of atheists. Hell is going to be full of almost Christians. It's going to be full of people that come to church every Sunday that are either deceived or lost in their own ways. Hell's going to be full of people like just like you and I that are playing God and playing church. I'm telling you right now, if we can get a hold of this, if you'll get this down in your spirit, say, I refuse to play. I refuse to wait until it's too late. I want to get it right tonight. I want to ask you if there's any alt in your spirit. If you have anything against this church, against this man of God, tonight's the night to get it right. You can't wait another day. You can't wait another moment. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Amen. We try to get this twisted. You and I as apostolics. Amen. We want to be the rich man on this side of glory, and we want to be Lazarus on the other side of glory. But I'm telling you, you don't have to live your life as a beggar, but you better make up in your mind where you stand with God. You better make up in your mind, amen, that the things that we take for granted in hell, amen, we would want just a drop in hell, amen, we just want everything we can get. There's going to be so much regret that comes with hell. There's going to be so much disappointment that comes with hell. There's going to be so many people, amen, that would love, amen, there's so many people that are in torment that would tell you, listen to the preacher, listen to the man of God, amen. You don't want to live the life that you've been living. Don't almost live for God. Don't almost give up sin. And as we come to the piano, God help us. The Bible says that Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa comes from a family of preacher killers. King Herod Agrippa, excuse me, yes, King, his great grandfather, King Herod, was the one that drove Mary and Joseph to Egypt with their baby son Jesus, because they wanted to kill him. King Agrippa II's grandfather was the one that served John the Baptist's head on a platter. King Agrippa I, Agrippa's dad that Paul is talking to, was the one that killed James, the son of Zebedee. And after all of this bitterness and hate and martyr and killing, Paul goes to Agrippa and says, it don't have to be this way. It don't have to end this way. And he looks back over a whole line of trying to kill Jesus, killing John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, killing the disciple James, the son of Zebedee. And Paul, and Agrippa standing here to make the decision. And I'm telling you, Paul was a preacher. He'd done a lot better job than I've done tonight. And Agrippa said, you know what, Paul? You done good. Good message. Good testimony. You almost persuaded me. I almost got it right. I almost let go of that sin in my life. I'm gonna tell you something. You got to look in the mirror and you got to look at your flesh and say, I'm not gonna let you send me to hell.
I want to ask you tonight if there's anybody that is willing to sell out. Now, I've been here close to 5 weeks. I'm telling you, this church has incredible potential. What a tragedy for somebody from this church to not make heaven. I want us all to ask the question tonight, if God came back tonight, where would you stand? If God came back tonight, where would you spend eternity? Don't become a tragedy. Because there's going to be a day he's going to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Or he's going to say, turn away from me, you workers of iniquity. God. Lost or saved? It's your choice. I was hoping there would be more that already moved and came to the altar. Coming to an altar don't mean you're backslidden. You're down here checking yourself.